Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, along with my co-host, Elder David Clifton. And we thank God that we're able to be here another day to get into the perfect law of liberty, which is none other than the Word of God. We thank God for that. There's nothing like the Word that we have to have. As the writer said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." So we thank God. We can see this year is moving on. I believe this is our third broadcast on this new year, 2011. So we thank God. Like they say, we say time is going. It's not waiting on nobody. But really, they say time is not going nowhere, but we are. Mm-hmm. But either way, we thank God we're here, and we want to redeem the time, as Apostle Paul said, for the days are evil. So we're thankful to God. We know it's of the Lord's mercies. We're not consumed because His compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. And as the writer in Lamentation says, great is thy faithfulness. So we thank God that we're still able to report victory in the precious name of Jesus, knowing that there is one God. There's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. Amen. We thank God that we live, we move, and we have our being in Him, and that is Jesus. Amen. We thank God for that. Everybody don't know who Jesus is. Everybody don't know that great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Everybody don't know that. So everybody don't know that there is one God, there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. So we're going to move on today. We are in the book of 1 Corinthians. Before we do that, we're going to have Elder David Clifton to do his food for thought on today.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord, everyone. On today, my food for thought will come in the form of a question. And that question is simply, what is it that you believe in? And that's pertaining to doctrine, and that's pertaining to your beliefs in God. And the reason that I'm asking that, and I'm encouraging you all to meditate on that question, is because there's a lot of people that come and go every single Sunday in and out of a church, and if you ask them the doctrine, if you ask them their beliefs, some of them may not even understand the question that you're asking them. A lot of people think that Christianity just has to do with knowing that, you know, there was a man named Jesus Christ that died for our sins and hung up on the cross, you know. Besides that, they can't really elaborate. They think that everyone that falls up under the umbrella of Christianity teach and preach the same thing. So I would encourage you all to go and to find out what exactly it is that your church, that your denomination believes in. And after you find that out, you should line that up with the Word of God. And if there's any error in that teaching that your denomination is teaching, I would encourage you to leave, and I would encourage you to leave swiftly. There is proper ways, I understand that, to leave out of churches. But I know here at my local assembly, there are several, if not many people that were brought up or raised under a different denomination. And if you ask them, it was hard for them to leave once they found the truth. But the key is they did find out the truth. They researched out what it is that church that they were under was teaching, and they came to find out that it was not 100% lined up with the Word of God. So, again, my question to you would be, what is it that you believe in? Amen.
Amen. Amen. This is Elder Clifton is saying what Apostle Paul told Timothy, to take heed unto doctrine, and he was saying the things that he had heard among many witnesses. He said, commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. Sometimes people, you got to know that you're not right if you be honest with yourself. I came up in the Baptist church, so I quit going to church. I knew I wasn't doing right after I got out of high school. I go to church every once in a while, but the thing is, I knew something was different when a young man witnessed to me, told me about the baptism in Jesus' name 3 years before I got saved. Mm-hmm. But when the Lord kept dealing with me, and I didn't fight it anymore. I knew where the church was, and I came at the appointed time on a Bible class night. Mm-hmm. And I think I came one Sunday when church was over. I got out of there. I didn't go up for prayer or nothing. Then my wife got saved like 10 days before I did. And then the Lord brought me in on a Wednesday night on a Bible class night. So I thank God for that. So I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. God filled me with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. I never experienced anything like that in my life. So I've been up, I've been down, and I'm still around. Amen. I thank God for his truth, and I've been fought on every hand. And so now I know how to defend the gospel. I'm set, like Apostle Paul said to the church at Galatia. He said, I'm set for the defense of the gospel. So you got to get in the word and see what you have. So the point being is just like what they told Jesus told the disciples, to go back and tarry in the city of Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. Mm-hmm. So realizing everything that he said was in the scriptures. And that's why he said, Lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written of me to do thy will. So there's nothing that we're saying. That's why we taking the time to go through. We have not even taught a subject that we didn't. We're just going through books. We have not took a subject and dealt with a subject by itself. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, we do have the liberty. But we're going through to bring understanding, to give truth from the scriptures. A precept must be a prime precept. Isaiah 28:11, line upon line. Line upon line, here a little and there a little. So it's so very important, just like we were taught, to pay very close attention to repetition. Mm-hmm. God's trying to get people's attention. So that's why we're a voice out here, and thank God for this vehicle that he has opened up this door in Blog Talk Radio. And incidentally, I want to give out our guest call-in number, should you be listening by way of radio. You may be listening on Facebook or whatever. You don't have the number. Our guest call-in number is 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. And so you can call in on that number. So we thank God for this door that he has opened.
Amen.
To be able to preach the gospel and to teach the gospel. Like he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And in the next verse, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So they knew what that name was. That name is in the singular. That name is Jesus. In the 20th verse, Matthew 28:20, he said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Talking about Jesus, the things that he commanded those disciples to do.
Amen.
So you got to be, so Jerusalem is like the home. So that's just like Peter said when he preached on the day of Pentecost, says the promises unto you, talking about the Jews, to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. But we know that the apostles' headquarters was at Jerusalem, and God's holy mountain today is in Jerusalem. God's holy mountain has never been Rome. That's that Catholic Church, the mother of harlots in the 17th chapter of Revelation, that sprung up. Ain't no divine trinity. That is a lie out of hell.
Amen.
The devil knows that there is one God. James 2 and 19, he says, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well.
Uh-huh.
The devils also believe and tremble.
And
not saying they believe God, but they know it's one God.
That's right.
They're trembling at that lie they're telling.
Right.
About it's three or it's two. They know it's only one.
Amen.
So we thank God for the truth. So we're going to be, we kind of left off in the seventh chapter of 1 Corinthians and the 34th verse on today. We've kind of, our historian is able to make it, and we're going to try to deal with this. If not, we're going to just move on here in this chapter. But I left off at the 34th verse, but there's a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cared for the things of
the Lord.
Let's see. Yeah, the unmarried woman cared for the things of the Lord, that she may be both holy, both in body and spirit. But she that is married cares for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Like I said on last week, she's a keeper of the house. It's like you read about the virtuous woman in the 31st chapter of Proverbs.
Mm-hmm.
Women like certain things. They may like flowers. They may like pictures. They like decorations. All that, God put all of that there. And so some men, they want certain things to be certain ways, but certain things women are going to do. They're going to decorate. They like to do things like that. If they got a daughter, they like to dress her up. Some men, we're totally different creatures. What they said, men are from Mars, women are from Venus.
Yeah, that's one of the things that the world said. Yeah.
And so we're different kinds of creatures,
uh-huh.
the way we think about
uh-huh.
things.
And that is, and you know, a lot of times they people will say that women operate more off of emotions with things, and that's why you have to be careful, you know, when you're dealing with your wife.
Right.
The Bible deals with and talks about them being the weaker vessel. And it's not weaker, amen, in stature or strength, or it's not even weaker as far as, you know, I'm the man, you know, hear me roar, you're just a little woman. It's not from that standpoint, but weaker being more delicate, if you will. You know, the eye in your head is a weaker vessel, and that's why you have to have your eyelid that closes involuntarily. That's protection for your eye. But if you compare your eye, compared to your hand is using to strike things. You can use your hand to strike things. So you can get down and get dirty with your hand. Your hand is a strong vessel, but your eye, just as the woman, is a weaker vessel. And you have to be careful in how you deal, amen, with women. You have to be careful how you deal with your wife, amen. So you have to, you know, you have to have wisdom in dealing with your wife. And as every woman operates different, amen, you have to know your wife. You have to understand. You have to, if you will, study your mate.
Right.
So that you can know how to handle certain situations when they arise. You know, some men have wives that, may be very sensitive in areas as far as maybe cooking or cleaning. So you shouldn't go home and demand, that your wife cooks and cleans for you. Amen. You know, my wife tells me all the time, you're a grown man. You know, if you're hungry and ain't nothing to eat, you're very well able to go in that kitchen, you know, and cook for yourself. So that's one thing, you know, when dealing with Christ, where, you know, men always say, well, I'm the head, you know, I'm the head of the house. You have to get rid of that macho spirit where
right.
you want to boss around the woman, where you want to boss around the wife. God did not give you that liberty. As far as being the head, you should be the example for the home. You should be the one that's praying for the home. You should be the one that's teaching not only your wife, but teaching your children how to walk with God. So there is, a separation, if you will, between the biblical head of the household and the world's definition, if you will, of the head of the house.
Right, yeah, like I was saying on last week, you're the head. The man is the head of the household. That means he's the protector. That means also he is the provider. So here we got an example in the scriptures. After this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about your wife, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered.
Mm-hmm.
So, just like sometimes, I remember one time we had a battle. We first got saved. We hadn't been saved that long. So one time my wife, we got fought by the enemy. So, and I just kept saying, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. So I knew what was going on. So you can't, the devil will try to make you think that you're not saved when he comes with his attacks. But somebody got to stand up.
That's right.
And fight that demon. You know, realize who he is. Call him out for who he is and call a lie a lie. And just like they say, they got a saying in the world, read with the third eye and hear with the third ear. No, in the scripture, we got to have a biblical perspective about things. We got to have on the whole armor of God, because we know that we're in spiritual warfare. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But Apostle Paul said we could wrestle against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We know the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He comes to blow your mind. You got to know who you are in Jesus.
Yes.
Not to get fought. So there's many biblical things. It's like we were saying on last week, that God made woman, and he made man, and he made woman
mm-hmm.
for the man. And so God instituted marriage, like we mentioned on last week.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no such thing as these people are coming out and they say, oh, he's so honest. He's a civil city council man. He came out of the closet. Well, he should have stayed in. He should have been ashamed. I mean, like I said on last week in the book of Ephesians, says some things that we used to do in our past life that we should be ashamed of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not proud of what you used to be, but we were sinners. Now are we the sons of God. That is to those that who are saved.
Yes.
So,
and there are no biblical examples of two men being joined together or two women being joined together that was ordained by God. You have to look to the scriptures, if you will, for your example of life. And if nowhere in the scriptures did God ordain or did God, allow this to happen, you can go into the scriptures and twist them up and try to make them say something that they're not. But I even have a hard time listening to someone that can do that, where, you know, many times you see where it says, you know, that God has joined together a man and a woman. It says nothing of a man and a man. And you know, and that's what chapter 7 is primarily dealing with. It's dealing
right.
with marriage. For example, if you go to the beginning of the seventh chapter, and he's dealing with avoiding fornication, and let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. You're going to see that terminology, the husband to the wife or the wife to the husband. You're never going to see the husband to the husband. You're never going to see the wife to the wife. God has not ordained the marriage between the same sex. So when you have the scripture that says whatever God has put together, let no man set asunder.
Right.
Amen. God is not joining these marriages, these same-sex marriages. And that's an issue that we deal with a lot. But in today's times, I think we have to deal with it because you see it so much more, like you said, when these people are coming out. They had this guy, you all know the singer, Ricky Martin. He's parading around
mm-hmm.
for 10 or so years. He's this big sex symbol, and you see all his videos, and he's just got women everywhere. 10 years later, he comes out, he says, well, you know, I'm a homosexual, I've been a homosexual. You know, they were making me do that. But he was perpetrating to do that just to make money.
Mm-hmm.
So even the world knows that there's some things that are not as acceptable as they would portray them to be. They knew if this guy came out, as soon as his first hit came out and said he was a homosexual, he would not have made the money that he made. So he hid in that and pretended to be a heterosexual. So even there, you have to see that the world and his management and the people around him knew that being a homosexual, it was something not quite about being a homosexual. We're gonna let you make all this money. We're gonna let your name get put up in the lights. Everyone's gonna like you. And now years later, where he has this big fan following, he comes out and now it's okay with everyone because it's Ricky Martin. But it's not okay according to God.
Right. Yeah. Because that's what the Bible said: love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. 1 John 2:15, I believe. The all that's in the world. If any man love the world, he said, the love of the Father is not in him. He said, all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They're not of the Father, but they're of the world. World passeth away, and the lust thereof, that he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. But that's a work of the flesh, homosexuality. Fornication is a work of the flesh. Like I said on last week, fornication is homosexuality is a branch of fornication.
Yes.
You're not supposed to, we're not just talking about homosexuality. We're talking about adulterers and adulteresses, these women that are laying down with men that ain't their husbands, these men that are fooling around with women who are not their wives, God is against that. It's all in the same class.
Any unlawful sexual.
Any unlawful, right.
Right.
And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam in Genesis 2:21, and he slept and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof, instead thereof, the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So we know the consummation of a marriage, when you get married, is the sex act. Two saith he shall be one flesh.
Yes.
Back in the beginning. What makes two people one is the sex act. And the sex act is man and woman, or husband and wife. In this case, this is what God done. God instituted marriage. So he did not institute another man with another man, or he didn't institute another woman with another woman. But he instituted man and wife. And like I said on last week, whoever that was who came up with that term, sexual orientation, they should be ashamed of themselves. Because there's no such thing. Because when children are born, you always see blue for a boy, pink for a girl. It's either a boy or a girl. It ain't a woman trying to get out of a man. You got a problem then. That means your mind is messed up. God didn't make no freak. God didn't make no junk. People making junk themselves. And so the media will try to perpetrate this stuff to try to make it have folks on. Elton John supposedly just had a baby or whatever. I mean, he's married to a man. But like I said before, and I say it again, it does not matter how many states have same-sex marriage. Because as far as God is concerned, you are not married. That's just like they used to say years ago, that is illegal procedure.
Amen.
You cannot marry the same gender. So that shows you how wishy-washy that men in society are. It doesn't work like that. So they're just trying to do. That's one of the signs of the end times that we're living in, is men looking like women and women looking like men, all these things that are going on, the violence, all these things, many things that are going on, and even the lukewarmness in the church. It's a sign of the Laodicean age, the time that we're living in. Some people think, because they got, that the Lord is with them. But they don't remember that Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, was a very successful man.
Very prosperous.
Yeah. Built cities and all of that. So that's not, you got to do what God says. Just like Apostle Paul was saying, he said, charge them that are rich that it be not high-minded, but trust in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. And he went on to say that they may lay hands, you know, be ready to distribute and lay hands, but they may lay hands on eternal life. Because he said we didn't bring nothing in this world, and it's certain that we're not going to take nothing out of this world.
Amen.
So he said with food and raiment, therewith be content. You know, so he said godliness for contentment is great gain. It's not contingent upon what you have and what you don't have. So it's all right. We're not preaching against things. I don't want to be living outside. I'm not, and I'm not with a Fred Flintstone vehicle either, where my feet are driving.
Amen.
You know, but we thank God for what we have, but we realize, just like James says, our life is but a vapor. It appears for a little while and it vanishes away. So we're talking about here, just like he says, this married woman cares for the things of the world as she may please her husband. And I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that we may attend upon the Lord without distraction. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she's past the flower of her age and needs so require, let him do what he will. He sinneth not. Let them marry. So we know he's going on here to say, nevertheless, he that standeth in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power of his own will, hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. This is talking about a man giving his daughter away in marriage. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she abide after my judgment. And I think also that I have the Spirit of God. But to go back a little bit, and then last week what we were saying, like Apostle Paul said, it's better if you can abide like I. But he said you can't abide like I. It's better to marry than to content, you know, to marry than to burn.
Mm-hmm.
But what he was talking about, you got two people. You're going to have trouble in the flesh. You got two personalities clashing together.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you're two different people, even though you're one in marriage, but you're still two different people. And Apostle Paul was saying that time was short. If you got a wife, don't seek to be loose. But if you got one, be as though you didn't have one. If you weep, be as though you didn't weep, because time was short. So, but he was saying you're going to have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. So everybody don't have, just like we read, I don't know if we got, every man has his proper gift after this manner and after that.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody doesn't have, God has to give you grace to operate the way that you should.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people think you can be celibate, as they say, you can be celibate and not be a homosexual. There's people that God has kept until they got married.
That's right.
Women and men.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to be out there so-called, like they say, sowing your wild oats, but you can be kept. Just like, and there are people even in biblical times. Most of those women that got married in biblical times were virgins.
That's right.
Because if they weren't, that test was going to get them messed up, get them stoned to death.
And God has to give you the grace.
Yes.
To keep yourself.
Yes.
God has to bless you with that. So if God is not giving you that and you're just forcing that upon yourself, you're asking for trouble. And it goes back to, to that harlot spoken of in the book of Revelation, where they require you,
mm-hmm.
if you're going to be a clergy, if you're going to be a priest, that you have to be celibate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if God is not giving me the gift to do that, if God is not, giving me the grace to do that, I'm going to have trouble. And that is why you see so many times, in that religion where these men are going after these boys, or they may even be, going after some of the nuns. I haven't heard any cases of that, which, that's a whole other topic. But if you're going to go after somebody, go after one of the nuns. Don't go after the little boys. But God has to grant you that grace to be celibate.
Right.
Okay. If not, you're gonna have trouble, and when that trouble comes, you're gonna seek to get your pleasure wherever you can.
Right. Yeah. Some did go after the nuns. There was a woman. We had a tape one time. This it was called Escape from a Catholic Convent. This nun actually escaped.
Mm-hmm.
She got saved, and she told all of us that they weren't just messing with. They were messing with nuns too.
Right, man.
But see, you ain't supposed to have none, period, till you get married. None from him or none from her. But God has a way that we're supposed to walk by. So the world's going to do what they want.
That's right.
These folks are not even divorced good and meeting somebody else ready to get married.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what the world does. And so then people are embracing that kind of stuff. So like you said, I saw that on that one show. That who you're talking about, that guy Ricky Martin.
Uh-huh.
So that, I mean, should be a show, and I think he got children too.
That may be possible. You know, and that, again, that, you know, the world is going to operate,
right?
You know how they operate, and you know the key is if you are saved, if you want to be saved, then you have to operate according to you know the scriptures, and I'm pretty sure you dealt with last week. You know the law of divorce,
right? Right. Yeah.
And as he says here in the 39th verse, he says that if the wife is bound by law as long as her husband liveth, but if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to marry to whom she will. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on to say
only in the Lord.
Mm-hmm. So number one, if you are both saved, you are bound together by the law or by the word of God. That means that there is no divorce amongst the saints.
Right.
Okay. Now, if the husband or the wife dies, he's very specific. If you're going to marry again, which is okay, he permits that, but it has to be only in the Lord, which means that person that you will remarry has to be saved. They have to be in the church. They have to be a saint. And this language is a little bit different than what Paul deals with earlier in the 7th chapter when he's talking about, you know, an unbelieving husband being with a believing wife.
Right.
That instance, and we have to set that in order, is dealing with two individuals that had got married while they were out in the world or while they were out in sin. They had no relationship with God.
Right.
And somewhere along their marriage, you can say that maybe the man got married.
Got saved.
God is not requiring for the man to leave his wife because she's an unbeliever. And Ezra, he kind of dealt with this in the Old Testament, where the children of Israel were not permitted to marry heathens. They were not permitted to marry anyone that was outside the covenant of God. So you have to understand that in the Old Testament, Israel, that was spiritual Israel, or that was Israel by, according to the flesh.
Right.
But they were born children of God. They were born that way. And they, so that means that they were born sanctified, or they were born set apart from God, and God did not want them mixing and mingling with the heathen nations, because he said that they would draw that their love away from God.
Right.
They would go
turn
after their
hearts.
Gods. They would turn their hearts. So then God did not permit mixed marriages. But Paul is not saying this here in the 7th chapter. What he's telling them is if the case comes where, you know, you get married in the world and one gets saved, when he's saying that the husband is sanctified by the wife, you're not saved because your wife is saved, but he's saying that marriage is God sees that as clean. The children being sanctified, that they're clean.
They're legitimate in the marriage.
He's not saying that you have to go off and divorce them because they're unbelievers. So you have to set some of these scriptures in order, because you're going to say, well, he's allowing these two to be married, and he's saved and she's not saved. Well, they got married before salvation came into that household. But now that you are saved, and for whatever reason your wife passes away, you can't go back out into the world and get you another woman that's not saved. Now you have to marry inside the church. So, you know, Paul deals with this. It's very good that he deals with it, because we have to have that understanding. You can't come in to the church of God, and some of these things are very basic, but you have to have some type of understanding so you don't get yourself in trouble. I think another teacher, and I'm not sure if it's very prevalent now, but they would have the case where a man and a wife was married in the church, and let's say the husband, he backslides. He goes out in the world. He leaves his wife. He divorces her and marries another woman. Okay? Somewhere down the line, he comes to his right mind. He comes out of his madness. He says, you know what? I want to be restored. So he comes back to the church, and they would tell this man that part of your restoration is you have to leave that woman out there in the world. You have to divorce her and any kids that you have with her, and you have to remarry your wife to be restored. That's foolishness.
Right.
But you have some people that teach that, and I think primarily it's because they may take chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians out of context.
Right. Right.
So you have to be careful.
Right. Yeah.
In dealing with the scriptures.
Right. Yeah. Because we dealt with that last week. Because there, like I say, I know of one brother personally. He got saved. He was saved before I was,
mm-hmm.
and his wife never did get saved. She ended up leaving, and they got divorced. So God knows, just like you said, a brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. Some people didn't believe that these people were free to get married, but they are. That's what he's saying here. He says, if the unbelieving depart, right, if the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, or the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband, else were your children unclean, but now are they holy, so they are legitimate. Like, if the unbelieving depart, unbelieving, this is an open door right here, depart, let him depart. We, a brother, he's, him, that means either or, because the next sentence, a brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us unto peace. So he goes on, what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt say thy husband? Question. Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt say thy wife? But God has distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all churches. Then he called being circumcised, let him not be uncircumcised. Then he called in uncircumcision, let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, neither uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. So I was breaking that down last week, how in the scriptures, the circumcision is talking about the Jews, and the uncircumcision, the Gentiles. So it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Greek. The thing of it is you need to keep the God's commandments. You got to get saved.
That's right.
So he is not a Jew, that's one inwardly, but, you know, in Romans, the scriptures say, but he is a Jew who's one inwardly, whose praises of God, not of men, but of God. So in other words, with the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, when it comes and pricks or circumcises that heart, that's the circumcision he's talking about.
Not of the flesh.
Not of the flesh, what we're talking about. So you never know. It's like I said, I was saved, me and my wife and I, for 4 years before she got saved. Then 10 days later, I got saved.
Amen.
So you never know. I mean, so how would that look? She said, well, she left me after I got saved 10 days before I would get saved. That would be very premature.
Right.
So that doesn't make sense. God knew, and that's why he had Apostle Paul to write these writings.
That's right.
God is calling people out. He's calling the people out of a people to make the church of God. And there's many people. There are numbers of couples. We all got saved pretty much together. You know, the husband will come in, the wife will come in. Well, we know somebody's wife took him to get baptized at 2 or 3 in the morning. You know who that was, So God is working. Some cases it was the man first. Some cases it was the woman.
That's right.
Some case one came. Some case the other didn't come.
That's right.
I know one sister that her husband, I don't know, they both were saved when I got saved. Anyway, the husband didn't want to do right. He went back out there and got back on those drugs, ended up ODing, you know. And so his wife, she fought for a long time, you know. So finally, Lord blessed her. She got married. I mean, she was free to get married.
That's right.
Because her husband was dead. So we got to walk with the Lord. So the point being, we can't just throw somebody out. Like they say, throw the baby out with the bathwater. But you don't know if that person will. Exactly.
That's right.
So they're not a dirty person. God just happened to save one person. You know, people be saying, yo, this person got religion. Well, a lot of folks don't. You think something is going on right now with these Republicans and Democrats and all this craziness. They fighting against the other, the House and the Senate, and the lobbyists and all this stuff going on, and things that are going on, like in Haiti, Baby Doc then came back. Papa Doc died,
Baby Doc
was a dictator and his father, and they killed thousands of people, you know, that went against their program. But what we got to see, what's getting ready to come on the horizon, is like when the Antichrist come on the scene after the church is gone, ain't going to be no negotiating. You're going to do what he say or your head. It might take you a whole week's wages to get a loaf of bread. So the Bible is right, and some of these jelly-backed preachers are scared to get in the book of the Revelation and to teach what God's word say, and they live in any old kind of way. You know, these things are not hid, but God wants us to know what his word is saying so we can see this system coming into place, how the system is going to be set in place. It's going to be a number of a man and his number. The number of is 600, 366 in the book of Revelation. Not going to be no 666. It's going to be a number system. This ain't been in the working for a long time.
Yes.
When you think about it, even the Social Security numbers that we got many years ago, they were all set up in a way that we don't even know. And, it, you know, we know now, but, I mean, it depends on where you were from,
mm-hmm.
your digits that you got.
Yes.
And then that's your number.
Yes.
And then now, and even when probably back in the 90s, I believe, when my first granddaughter was born, you had to get a Social Security number, a card for a baby when they're a baby. We never had to do that. You know, I remember in the 80s, I went and got Social Security cards for all my sons. I believe it was, when I remember, it was in 1987. Got everybody a Social Security card, the oldest one and all the others. But now you got to get that right when they're born.
Well, they come right away.
Yeah, they got to have a Social Security card. That's
within weeks.
That is just as important as the birth certificate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they used to have a saying. There was a show on TV, used to be called Secret Agent Man. They would be singing that song, Secret Agent Man. And they say, giving you a number and taking away your name. And that's what they said. And they took your name away, but your number is replacing
yes.
it.
Yes. And we have to understand that, you know, the spirit behind this,
yes.
this technology, which is the spirit of the Antichrist,
yes.
has been around.
Mm-hmm.
So these things, like you said, they've been introduced to us slowly but surely over the ages, and all this is coming to a head, as they say. I mean, we have to look at, you know, technology and see how far we have come, and we have to understand and we have to open our eyes and see, you know, that something is going on.
Right.
You know, Jesus says, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And what was going on in the days of Noah? What caused God to destroy the earth with water? It was because of the wickedness of man. And,
mm-hmm.
and once again, we see that wickedness is just running through the land right now. I mean, you cut on the news and you hear, you know, murder or rape or robbery, murder, rape, robbery, you know, repetition. Man is getting exceedingly evil as time goes on. And God is getting ready to gather his church and take them out of here, you know. So that is why, you know, we're trying to set things in order. We're trying to get the word out as best as we can so that, you know, those that are named in the Lamb's Book of Life will be in their proper place. So, you know, when God calls the church home, that we're ready to get out of here. Because if you don't get out of here, when the church is caught up, it's going to be trouble. And as Elder Cannon said, now, if you think it's hard now, you know, wait till the Antichrist comes on the scene, because he's going to be taking what he wants. It's going to be my way or the highway, as
right.
they say. And you don't want to go the highway, according to the Antichrist, because it's death. So it's a lot easier now to operate, you know, in a worldly system in relation to how it's going, how easy or how hard it's going to be to operate under the system, under the Antichrist. So we say, you know, you got to get saved. Now is the time. You know, you got to get past everything that maybe grandma and grandpa have told you. You know, get past the family traditions. You know, get past, you know, your insecurities. Get past whatever is holding you back. And it's time to get saved and truth. It's time, you know, to get delivered from your sins. You know, enough of this playing around and, you know, you clubbing on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, but then you coming to church on Sunday. So you can't be playing around with God, because you don't know, just like I don't know and the Elder Cannon doesn't know, when the rapture of the church is going to happen. You
yes.
can't be playing around. You know, they got this old 2012 thing coming out, or, you know, I've heard that another person has fallen unto the ignorance of dating the day of the rapture of the church. One of our evangelists was telling us, and I forgot the specific date and time, but again, another person that said that they had found out the year, the day, and the time of the rapture. That's foolishness. So now what he's saying is you can go out and you can live like a hellhound all the way up until whatever, you May 23rd of 2012, but on that day you have to get yourself together. That's not how God operates.
No.
Okay? So you need to get yourself ready now and be on standby.
Right.
Amen.
Right. Just like you said, today is the salvation. Today is the day of salvation. The 95th Psalm says, after so long time in the wilderness, says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. And the Hebrew writer gives witness to that. But anyway, We know about the violence, like he mentioned about the violence in the land. All these things are a sign of the coming of the Son of Man. And so wickedness is increasing, and people are just doing their own thing. All the violence is going on, just like what happened in Tucson, Arizona, a couple weeks ago. I mean, political party has nothing, and it's not even a drop in the bucket of what's getting ready to happen.
That's right.
And you can see, like I say, these so-called dirty Republicans, the American people have spoken. I mean, there's some heartless people wanting to, the health reform we have been needing for a long time. And so, and even that Jesus said himself, you have the poor with you always, but me you don't have. So some people don't care for the poor and the needy. They don't care for nobody else. They've got their millions, and their families are set up for generations.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be any money ain't going to help you in the day of the Antichrist. Cause we're in a global system, and it's all set. And they thought the collapse of the housing industry was something. We haven't seen nothing yet. So then the Antichrist is going to build everything back up. But so we can see that even like the Bible said, the psalmist says, if riches increase, set not your heart on it. So it's time to believe the Lord, to believe what God says, and to be saved. Like you said, you can't just do your own thing and then get yourself together. It don't work like that. But Jesus said, no man know the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. He gives too many references in the Scriptures.
That's right.
Even the 25th chapter of Matthew about the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins.
Mm-hmm.
And so how the wise took oil and their vessels with their lamps, but the foolish didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And they all slumbered and slept. So we know what happened. So anyway, the wise told the foolish to go and get your own. While they were gone, the bridegroom came, and the door was shut.
Mm-hmm.
And one day the door is going to be shut.
That's right.
So that's why we're trying to let people know, you know, that the church began at Pentecost in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the church that Jesus was talking about. So you go through the Scriptures, how he established his church, how he chose those 12 men, and how he didn't just pray for them only in the 17th chapter of St. John, but he said, I pray for them which shall believe on me through their word.
Yes.
When he prayed the priestly prayer. So this word has been passed down to generations, just like the Israelites used to do. He said, teach to thy sons and thy sons' sons in Deuteronomy.
Mm-hmm.
So Apostle Paul told Timothy the same thing. Things that you have heard among me, from me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others.
Mm-hmm.
So we should be saying none other things than what Moses and the prophets did say.
That's right.
About Christ who is to come.
That's
Jesus,
right.
Who is the Christ. Not all this stuff. And so it just, I marvel at how important all these people are, and I'll say it, and I don't care. And some people, you know, you got to be connected to them. You got to be with them. And do this, and all of this, they're deceiving people, we're sowing a seed, when God only requires the tithe, which is a tenth, and a free will offering. You ain't got to give no $1,000 to this television ministry, or $500 to this one. That is all a lie, and God ain't spoke to them and told them that lie. They're lying.
That's right.
They want your money. Their God is their belly, their glory is their shame. They're soul hustlers. They're ecclesiastical pimps.
That's right.
They're pimping people.
Right.
Ain't no such thing. You ain't got to give the pastor something first.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't God. You put God first. Like Elijah, the woman giving Elijah the cake and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So some people trying to act like, you know, I'm like Elijah. Take care of me first. Or you give a prophet a cup of water in the name of the Lord, you're not going to lose your reward. You know, one pastor, like he's so important. Whatever you give him, you can't give him enough for what he's worth. And a prophet's reward is a glass of water. It sounds like to me.
Yeah, you gotta be careful.
You gotta know what the Word of God says.
And even if you know, something comes to pass where you give one of these lying demons some money and somehow you get some type of kickback, you have to understand that that's still nowhere in the Scriptures where that can happen. So that's not God that gave you that increase.
Right.
You know, the blessings, if you will, that's what we call it. I don't want to call it blessings. Increase can
right.
come from anywhere.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily mean that God is always behind it. You know, you see on, you know, for instance, all these award shows,
mm-hmm.
you got all these ungodly people with all this ungodly music, and they want to thank God for giving them the gift, and they saying that God has blessed them, you know, with the ability to sing like that. Well, even if he did, he didn't bless you to use your voice to sing that old crazy, ungodly music.
Right.
So we have to understand that God is not behind everything that people profess him to be behind. You know, they lying. They're soothsayers. Okay? A lot of times, like this old crazy thing. Now, this is ridiculous. The Zodiac sign done changed now. So now you got all, you have some people that are upset because all this time, these 20, 30 years they've been on Earth, they thought that they was a bull. Now they found out they a snake, and now they all messed up. Now their whole personality is going to change according to what the stars said. But see, your hope should be in Christ. Your hope shouldn't be in the stars. Your identity is in the body of Christ. Your identity has nothing to do with the constellations. All these people, they follow behind all this crazy stuff. There's people that are actually, they're upset about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Then you know, then you have these prophets, and you know they're soothsaying. That's what they do. You have to understand that demon spirits have the ability to fortune tell. It's okay. The fact of the matter is that is true. So even if they tell you something about your past that is true, you have to understand that God does not operate like that. So it's not God. It's a, you know, it's a demon spirit behind that.
Right.
So you have to educate yourself. You have to sit down. You know, you have to be taught by someone. And that's one of the things I think Elder Cannon is going on, is you have a lot of people that want to read and study on their own. They say that they want to know God by their self. And in that, they are making an error, because God has always set a man or a woman, you know, ahead of his people to instruct them on the way to live. So, you know, I would also encourage anyone, and it's good to take the Bible and have some knowledge of what the scriptures say, so that when someone is trying to give you any type of revelations, you can reference the scriptures and have some type of insight on what they're saying. But you do need to be taught. A sheep is an animal that survives by being in a flock, and even above that, they always have a shepherd. If there is no shepherd over the sheep, that sheep will get devoured. So God has never intended for sheep. A sheep is not a loner type of animal like a wolf. And that's why God, a lot of times, he teaches spiritual right next to natural, so that we as men can understand what he's talking about. Amen?
Right, right. And I wanted to maybe, you know, our time is almost gone. But in the 8th chapter, now it's touching the things offered unto idols. We know that we all have knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Knowledge puffed up, but charity edifieth. And this one of my favorite scriptures. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's the thing. Sometimes people say, well, I've been in church all my life.
Yeah.
I came up this way. My grandfather was this way. My mother and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I mean, you got to search a little farther. A lot of people have not. I never heard of no Book of Ephesians. I mean, I heard of St. John, and most of us, we heard of the Gospels. We might have heard of Revelation. We knew a few books in the Book of Job and Genesis, whatever. Some books of the Bible I never heard of before I got saved.
That's right.
Never heard of, like the Romans, the Corinthians, like Galatians. Like, who is that? Colossians. Never heard of.
That's right.
And so we get in that word, and people don't like that. And see, so the devil don't want you to get in that word and search that word out. That's why Jesus said in St. John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me, the scriptures. So the scriptures will substantiate. So God said it to solitary and families. He brings out those that are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in the dry land. So you got to be in a local church.
That's right.
So you can be taught, because
right.
That is God's order. That's just like a child. We're children of God. And that's just like us, a natural children in a home. Child don't raise themselves.
No.
They don't know what to do. They don't know what's best for them.
That's right.
Or nothing. If they had a room full of food to eat, and they had sweets and all that stuff, they'd ruin themselves, because they don't know what to do. But God knows what we need.
That's right.
And you have to have a man of God or a woman of God to feed you the word of the Lord, to bring you up, to nourish you in the ways of righteousness, that you may grow up and mature in Christ, and then you'll be able to help somebody else. So we all, that's the way God has done it, by teaching and preaching the gospel. And then nowadays, they're doing all this, all kinds of stuff, all these plays, all kinds of things that are going on. But God's way is teaching and preaching.
Amen.
Now, Apostle Paul said in power and in demonstration that, you know, I've heard of, they've got a new thing they call illustrated sermon. Ain't no illustrated sermon. The people are doing all the work. It's called a play.
Mm-hmm.
It's called a drama.
It's
what that is. That ain't preaching.
Yeah.
Right. They're doing all the work.
Mm-hmm.
So you're teaching and preaching. That is God's way. And I think like one of our old warriors that's gone on to be with the Lord, he said, you got to sing them to bring them. You got to sing them to keep them.
That's right.
So in other words, folks are looking to be entertained.
That's what it is.
You got to be saved by the preaching of the gospel,
mm-hmm.
or by the teaching. The word is what's going to keep you.
That's right.
You're like somebody said, when you get home, the organ ain't going to be playing. The devil ain't going to be playing
mm-hmm.
either.
Mm-hmm.
He coming out with all his weapons, all his weapons against you. So we got to have the word, like James said, the engrafted word of God. Which is able to save your soul. That's what we got to have.
That's right.
So we can think. So we're not knocking what people have, but there's more for you. You got to have the born again experience. That's what people are. The Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit is nothing to be afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have it in the born again experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't fight it. So, and even like the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch, said when he was reading in the book Isaiah, and Philip drew near and got on the chariot with him, and he said, understand what thou readest? He said, whom speaketh he? Of himself or of the prophet? Because he was reading out of the book Isaiah. And he began at the same scripture to preach unto him Jesus.
Uh-huh.
That man had to preach. He preached to one man.
That's right.
And so much as the eunuch said, see, here is water.
Uh-huh.
What doth hinder me to be baptized?
Uh-huh.
He commanded that chariot to stand still. They went down in the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. The Spirit called him away that he saw him no more. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about when you believe, like we said, Scripture says, we have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto us.
Mm-hmm.
Like Elder David Clifton said at the beginning, doctrine, that form of teaching that was delivered unto us. Is what you got to obey from the heart.
That's right.
That's what Jesus was saying. After they believed that I died, after they believed that I was buried, after they believed that I rose again the third day according to the scriptures, he said, baptize them. So in other words, they got to turn.
That's
he
right.
said, do fruit of meat for repentance. So in other words, repent. Turn from your way and go God's way. Be sorry for your sins. And then repent. Repentance. Is that you make a 180-degree turn, not all the way around, right?
And
then you do that,
yeah.
You be baptized
right.
in the holy name, the mighty name, the precious name of Jesus. And God promised to fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen, amen. So we thank you again for listening. You know, next week we're going to pick up in chapter number 8. And again, we encourage you all, as Elder Cannon is going to give you the number again or the email address, to call in, you know, with questions. If you have any type of comments like that, we welcome them on the show. Ask for your prayers to continue to pray for us as we go on in the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this broadcast has been a blessing. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Yeah, I was kind of looking to see if